is ordered to the procreation and the education of offspring. And it is in them, the Catechism says, that marriage finds its crowning glory. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
You're listening to Ave Maria Radio.
Ave Maria Radio.
Building the apostolate of the laity and leading in the new evangelization. Ave Maria Radio joins EWTN in spearheading the recovery of the American Catholic identity and equipping all Catholics to take co-responsibility for Christ's Church.
This is full-time Catholic radio for Southeast Michigan, 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the Internet at WDEO.net.
Selections from Victories of the Martyrs by St. Alphonsus de Liguori. The Martyrdom of St. Agnes, Virgin. St. Agnes is said to have been descended of very noble and pious parents, and to have been but 12 or 13 years of age at the time of her martyrdom. Her extraordinary beauty caused her to be desired by many as their future spouse, but her principal suitor was Procopius, son of Symphronius, governor of Rome, who sent her a rich present, signifying that he was most anxious to be her husband. But the saint, who had dedicated her virginity and all her affections to Jesus Christ, answered him that she had been promised to another spouse. Procopius, nothing discouraged by this answer, continued his ineffectual importunities, until at last the saint, wishing to free herself forever from his unwelcome attentions, said to him, "Begone from me, thou food for death. I am already engaged to another, and a far better spouse. He is the King of Heaven, to whom I have consecrated my entire being." Procopius, not knowing what to do, employed the assistance of his father Symphronius, whose authority, he thought, might induce Agnes to comply. The governor accordingly summoned her to his presence, and told her he could not conceive why she should refuse the hand of his son, as it was impossible for her to obtain a more advantageous match. The saint replied that she had a divine spouse, who was far preferable to his son. The governor, being unable to conceive what she meant by a divine spouse, one of the gentlemen in waiting said to him, "That young lady is a Christian, and the divine spouse to whom she refers is none other than the God of the Christians." Hereupon the governor, changing his tone, told her that she should abandon that sect and its maxims altogether, or else not only lose the good fortune which now presented itself, but be exposed to infamy and the most cruel torments. He concluded by giving her 24 hours to consider whether, under these circumstances, she would obstinately continue to be a Christian. Agnes boldly replied that she required no time for deliberation, as she was already resolved to have no other spouse than Jesus Christ, and that neither torments nor death could frighten her, as she was most anxious to lay down her life for him. The governor then sought to intimidate her by threatening to have her sent to an infamous place to be there dishonored. But the saint replied, "My confidence is placed in Jesus Christ, my spouse, who is omnipotent. He will defend me from all outrage." Enraged at this answer, Symphronius ordered her to be handcuffed and dragged in chains before the idols, that she might offer incense. But on arriving at the place, she made the sign of the cross, declaring that her crucified spouse alone should be adored. She was then led by force to a house of prostitution. But if any approached her with an immodest intent, he became so overawed as not to be able to look at the saint. Only one rash young man, whom some supposed to have been Procopius, attempted to offer her any violence. But the impure wretch soon experienced the jealousy with which the spouse of virgins defends them, for a flash of lightning struck him blind, and he fell as if dead upon the ground. While his companions were endeavoring to afford him some relief, and were already bewailing him as dead, the saint was requested to pray for him, and this she did. Whereupon he instantly recovered, and again received his sight. The governor, surprised at this miracle, was inclined to dismiss the Holy Virgin. But the idolatrous priests exclaimed that it was the effect of magic, and excited the people to demand that Agnes should be put to death as a witch. the governor, fearing a sedition if he should discharge her, and on the other hand being unwilling to put her to death, left the judgment of the case to his lieutenant Aspasius, who, being obliged to it by the populace, condemned her to be burned alive. The funeral pile was accordingly erected. The saint was placed upon it, and the fire enkindled. But the flames, respecting her person, divided themselves on either side, and consumed many of the idolaters who were assisting at the execution. The priests and the people continued to cry out that it was the work of the devil, and obliged the lieutenant to send an executioner to behead her. The horror of such an execution caused even this minister of cruelty to turn pale, and he trembled to give the stroke. But the saint animated him, saying, "Haste thee to destroy this my body, which could give pleasure to others, to the offending of my divine spouse. Fear not to give me that death, which shall be to me the commencement of eternal life." Having raised her eyes to heaven, and besought Jesus Christ to receive her soul, this tender virgin received the stroke of death, and went to receive from her Savior the palm of her triumph. The Martyrdom of Saint Alban, First Martyr of Great Britain. Saint Alban was an Englishman and a pagan by birth. During the persecution of Diocletian, he fortunately received into his house a holy ecclesiastic who was flying from the persecutors. Alban was greatly edified by the saintly life of his guest, who was almost continually employed in prayer, was exceedingly parsimonious in the use of food, and was remarkable for his humility and blandness of manners. Knowing him to be a Christian, our saint begged to be instructed in the religion, and the clergyman so forcibly showed him the extravagances of idolatry and the truth of the doctrines of Jesus Christ, that Alban, illumined by divine grace, embraced the Christian faith. It was discovered after some time that the ecclesiastic, after whom search was being made, lay concealed in Alban's house, whereupon the governor sent a party of soldiers to seize him. But Alban, upon their approach, put on the habit of the clergyman, and enabled him to effect his escape. Our saint was accordingly arrested and brought before the governor, who was engaged at the time in offering sacrifice to his gods. Seeing Alban, with whom he had been acquainted, in that strange dress, and judging that he had become a Christian, he threatened that if the saint would not abandon the faith, he would cause him to suffer all the torments that had been prepared for him whose habit he had assumed. The saint replied that he never would abandon that faith, which he had fortunately discovered to be the only true one. The governor then caused him to be cruelly scourged, but Alban suffered this torture, and many others that followed it, with such joy that the governor, despairing of being able to change his resolve, condemned him to be beheaded. The saint proceeded to the place of execution as though it were to a banquet. But having arrived at the bank of the river, which should be crossed in order to reach the destined place, such a multitude had assembled that it was considered impossible to pass the bridge before evening. Hereupon the saint, anxious to give his life for Jesus Christ, prayed to the Lord, and the waters, dividing themselves on either side, left a dry passage to the opposite bank. At the sight of this miracle, the executioner was converted, and happily obtained the crown of martyrdom, together with Saint Alban. The Martyrdom of Saints Potamiana, Virgin, Marcella, her mother, and Basilides, soldier. Saint Potamiana was educated with great care in the fear of the Lord by her pious mother Marcella, but being by condition a slave, and gifted by God with extraordinary beauty, her pagan master conceived towards her a shameful passion, which he frequently manifested, and was as often indignantly repulsed. The unchaste wretch accordingly had recourse to the prefect of Egypt, and promised him a large sum of money, if he would compel the saint to yield to his wishes, beseeching him at the same time to put her to death as a Christian, in case she should prove inexorable. The prefect forthwith summoned Patamiana to his presence, and showing her all the apparatus of torture that had been prepared for her in case of refusal, he commanded her to obey her master. He used all his arts to induce her to comply. But the saint expressed her horror of the iniquitous demand, and upbraiding him with the infamy of urging such a request, she said, "How is it possible that there can be found a judge so unjust as to condemn me because I will not satisfy the inordinate desires of a lewd person?" Mortified at the saint's constancy, and still more so by the rebuke, the prefect condemned her to a most cruel death. He ordered a cauldron of pitch to be placed upon the fire, and when it commenced to boil, he commanded the Holy Virgin to be thrown in. The saint implored of him, since she had to suffer that death, that she might not be thrown into the cauldron at once, but let down into it by degrees, in order that she might suffer the more, and thus manifest her love towards her crucified spouse. "Thou shalt see," she continued, "how much patience is given to his servants by that Jesus Christ whom thou knowest not." Although the prefect admired the courageous request of the Virgin, he nevertheless acceded to it, and gave orders accordingly. The superintendence of the barbarous execution was entrusted to a soldier named Vasilidis, who, notwithstanding that he readily accepted the commission, was kind enough to drive back some lewd young men who were so insolent as to insult the saint. Patamiana promised him that she would reward his kindness by praying to God for him after her death. She was then immersed in the cauldron by such slow degrees that her martyrdom was protracted for a considerable time. Nor did she expire until the boiling pitch reached her neck, when her pure soul went to enjoy the beatific vision of that God for whose love she had suffered so painful a death. Her triumph took place at Alexandria, about the year 210, when her pious mother also suffered the martyrdom of being burned alive. 3 days after her death, St. Patamiana appeared in glory to Vasilidis, and placing a crown upon his head, said to him, "Know that I have prayed for thee to my God, whom I now enjoy. He will presently call thee to that glory of which I have already been made a participator." The event proved the vision to be real. For Vasilidis embraced the Christian faith, received baptism, and was beheaded by order of the prefect. This has been taken from Victories of the Martyrs by St. Alphonsus de Liguori. Victories of the Martyrs is Volume 9 of the Complete Works of St. Alphonsus de Liguori, Centenary Edition, published in 1954 by the Redemptorist Fathers and Brothers of New York. Permission to broadcast this work has been granted by the publisher.
This has been Christian Classics with Teresa Hofer. Listen every Monday through Friday at this time as Teresa continues her great readings and selections from classic Christian literature, right here on the Ave Maria Radio Network, news and talk for Catholic and other Christians.
The Chaldean News is a monthly news magazine about the Chaldean community and for the Chaldean community and for anyone wanting to learn about the Chaldeans or work with them. Chaldeans are Christians from Iraq. They are the indigenous people of the region. They speak Aramaic, the language of Jesus, and were converted to Christianity by St. Thomas the Apostle, who is a patron saint for the Chaldeans. The Chaldean News covers all of the community news in the United States and around the globe, from local business developments to what's going on in Iraq. The Chaldean News also publishes up-to-date stories on social media, including on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. New stories are posted regularly on the website.